Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer. Hello and welcome to Table Talk, The Spectator's food and drink podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast, Spectator Life's food and drink editor.
And I'm Olivia Potts, Spectator Life's vintage chef. Today we are delighted to be joined by Jose Pizarro. Jose Pizarro is a Spanish chef, restaurateur and writer. He came to London in 2000 where he opened some of the capital's most loved restaurants, Jose Tapas Bar, Pizarro and Jose Pizarro. He is the author of 5 cookbooks, including Basque, Catalonia and Andalusia. Jose, thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me. So looking forward to talk to you guys.
Jose, you grew up in a farm in Western Spain. Mm. Can you tell us what food was like when you were a child?
Yeah, my family, they have a farm, but we were living in a very small village. Just 800 people still living there. Well, 800 up and down, you know. The food was just unbelievable. You know, when you grow in a farm, almost everything is coming from there. And it's not coming from there, it's coming from your neighbors. You give me milk, and if I have amazing lettuce, I give you some lettuce. That is the way things works there. And still, like that. It was very simple. My mom was always helping my dad with the animals and the, you know, with the milking cows. And she didn't have much time to cook for me. But every single food came to the table. It was unbelievable. I was not very good eater, I have to say. I was a bit naughty, you know. Oh, I don't like that. I was a little, you know. But amazing memories of food and smells and, yeah, incredible.
So was the food, I mean, if you say your mother wasn't cooking that much, was it just...
No, she was cooking a lot. Yeah, okay. She always had time to cook.
Oh, right, okay.
Super fresh, you know.
What
she
sort of things
always
she cook?
Have the time for giving us the most incredible fresh. We have stews, you know, lentils, and I hated when I was a child. not hated, even more than that. Roast, soup, gazpachos, stews, everything was just amazing. Not for me sometime in that time, but I recognize and I still remember all the smells, all the noise, all the neighbors coming to, you know, that things in the morning when your mom is cooking lunch that is simple, but incredible.
And as a family, were meal times important to you? Would you all sit down together or was it too busy for that? How did it work?
No, always family have time to sit down. Like we say, mom and dad always running around the farm, but lunchtime was time to sit down.
Was lunch the most important meal growing up?
Breakfast, we didn't have breakfast together, mm-hmm. because my dad and my mom always leave earlier, but lunch and dinner always together. And still like that. I'm going to Spain, visiting my mama, and we always have lunch. I think it's important. And more, you know, was the time to catch up. Even my dad and mom always together, but time to catch up to see what is going on in the family and the friends. Always a little bit of gossiping, you know. It's quite important as well in the small village. Yeah. But yeah, always was time to sit together.
And what about when you were at school? Would you come home for lunch or do you take lunch with you?
No, you have to go back. It's a small village. A small village than you. I was running around all the time. You know? My mum has to look for me, I have to say.
Yes, I mean, we often have people on this podcast who have horrible memories of school food, but you must have very happy memories.
No. When your dad sent you to school and you eat and sleep in the same place?
Boarding school.
That memory was not very good, I have to say. You know, food was not exciting to say something, but the food always in the house was good. Always there, you know, something like we said before, very simple, that my mom, fresh. With fresh, I mean, if in Extremadura, where I'm coming from, was very hot in summer and very, very cold, and still very hot in summer and very cold in winter, you always have something, you know. When you're coming from the school or running around, you have always a nice gazpacho, you know. You just come into the house, open the fridge, have a jar. Beautiful. Yum. Beautiful, beautiful. You need it.
Yeah, of course.
You need it. So when it's 40 degrees, you know, yeah. You really need that. I'm telling you. And still now.
Yes, perfect weather for it right now.
I'm still having the gazpacho when I'm going to visit my mom.
What do you think is the secret to a good gazpacho?
Ingredients. It's again, ingredient. But it's the truth. Good gazpacho is a very good tomatoes.
And is it right that you weren't exactly introduced to cooking when you were younger? Your mother was in charge of the kitchen and you weren't in there with her?
I couldn't be there with her. You know, because the point is when you are very busy and you are running around like my mom was doing, she didn't have time for me. It's as simple as that. You know, you are a hard worker woman where the most important thing is first is the family, cook for the family, and then you have to go to run the business. It was not easy, I have to say. My family, thanks God, they have incredible life, but was always busy. My mom always busy and was like, you go away from here. No, sit down next to me, no looking to me, go around and play with the hens or whatever is around, dogs or whatever is in the is around with another child, or just be naughty. It's
the
point. It's to be a child. It's to be naughty. Naughty doesn't mean to be bad boy. Naughty means to enjoy your childhood. Mm. You know, going knocking the door from the old ladies. You know, you don't do nothing wrong, but you just have fun. And the woman, the old ladies, have something to do as well, running around behind us. Everyone has something, but that's the point. My mom never had the time for, bless her, for to sit down with me and say, okay, this is the way to do gazpacho, this is the way to do the stew. But always I was there, checking and smelling and doing things like that.
So when did you begin cooking?
I always was, I think, inside of me that kind of smells. But I start really very late when I went to the... I left the, how do you say before this?
Boarding school.
Boarding school.
I'm sorry.
There, more or less. But my mom even was cooking for me and I was taking the food.
Because that was the good food.
Yeah. I think I was like really into cooking when I start the school. Okay. The cookery school. Then I never thought it's going to be for a long time. I thought that was like three months and then go back to my, because I study and I finished dentist technician.
Yes.
Yeah. And then is when I want to do that two, three, four month course.
Yeah.
But I never went back.
So the original intention had been to be a dentist.
Yeah.
And you'd done all the training.
I did all the training. I passed. And I was waiting for a work, for a job.
Right.
Is why
so
I did
just
that
filling
course.
Time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, filling time. Filling
and
time.
You fell in love with cookery.
I fell in love with cooking, definitely. And then that time, you know, watching pots and then running around the kitchen with a chef. But was, I think, more, even the food than I love all my, was more social thing. Yeah. I love people. I need to be around people. Because another way I feel, what can I do? I think it was that kind of to be sit in front a mouth or to be in front of many mouths in different way and to be with more people and to be more social. And yeah. I think that is what they tick. And to be a chef, we are so lucky that we can work anywhere, anywhere in the world, and it's a job for us.
Was it a big decision for you? I mean, as we say, you'd done all this training for the first career and you'd thought this was going to be a stopgap. Was it a sort of big identity crisis or did you just think, yes, I'm going to go and do this?
I'm a bit crazy. I just do things like that.
I like
told my family, I think I don't want to go back to Seville. I think I'm staying here. Oh, you're crazy, crazy, crazy.
So were you training? Was it in Seville? Was that
no, okay. My job was in Seville.
Oh, right, okay.
So where was the cookery school?
In Cáceres, where I'm coming from. The small village is like 20 minutes from the small village. Wow. It's the main city.
So when you left your cookery school, what was your first job?
The good thing in Spain in that time, well, I think, is you just study and do the same time you go to the restaurants.
Right. So you're doing an apprenticeship
exactly.
Whilst also...
Always they send to you, the first thing that they do to you is washing pots, really.
Right.
And the place they send to me, the second place they send to me for apprentice or whatever you call, I stay there.
For how long?
For how long? A year and a half. In the beginning I tried to, you know, I was 24 in that time already. 25 years in the job. It passed so quick. I was there like a year, but I thought I can be studying, you know, keep the course and work at the same time. And you can do that like a couple of 3 months, but there you are 24, you have the money, you work very hard. You don't have the time to do the course, the studies and the work and study at the same time. And after 4, 5, 6 months, I left the school. And I stay working in that place where I stay.
And what was it that made you decide to come to London?
I always want to, I think, it's my, you know, Pizarro the Conqueror, maybe it's nothing to do with me, but I'm from the area where so many, I just wanted to go somewhere from my city, from where I was living and working. I went to a big hotel, and in the big hotel I met people that were Michelin star in Madrid. And all that time I was reading, working, eating, trying to escape for places to learn. And then when I moved to Madrid, my friend and my big mentor, Julio Reollo and Inma, they introduced me to different cuisine I was doing in my area. And was more like to see international, more creative. And I needed to learn different technique and to learn different cuisines, to try to do that kind of nouvelle cuisine, you know? In Spain, in Madrid, in that time, was not many Indian restaurants, or, you know, Chinese was not great, Japanese. And I wanted that technique and that influence to come to my kitchen, to my style of cooking, maybe. And it's why I thought, okay, I always wanted to go somewhere. I want to learn. Maybe I can learn some English. And I met a friend of my friend from my flatmate. She was living in London, and she told me, you know, if you really want to learn and to do something different, and there's not many Spanish chef in the UK, why you don't go there? Try and come with me.
When did you arrive in London?
And 20 years ago.
20 years ago. And what was Spanish food like
nothing,
in London?
Not much. It's why when I move, I say, and before I say I do things like that, I told my friend, I'm going to be there in a month. I was head chef in one Michelin star. Doesn't mean nothing at all, but I work very well, you know. And I came to London a month after. I was living here. And the Spanish cuisine was not much. It was a few places. It was Cambio de Tercio. It was amazing. It's still amazing. But it was not many people, you know. It was more like local, amazing restaurant than many of them are great ones. And now we have amazing restaurant, Spanish restaurant everywhere, and more coming, and that is amazing.
So when you came to London, at what stage did you make the move back to Spanish cooking rather than learning the different types?
2 weeks.
Really? That fast?
Oh, so fast.
Because why? You missed it? Or?
No, because I couldn't speak any English.
Right.
I was everywhere. Well, I'm looking for a job. Looking for a job. The only thing I could say was that. And I did so many trainings, and everyone moved. But the only thing I could do really was washing pots. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know how to do this. I was a bit stressed, I have to say, that 2 weeks. See, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I found one magazine on the floor. And I found one advertising about one Spanish restaurant. It was Gaudi in that time. And I went there and said, and look, busco trabajo.
Yeah, that's what you need.
That's it. That would change. I say, okay. And Gaudi in that time with Nacho, he was doing that kind of a nouvelle, more creative cuisine. And for Nacho, I was like a gem. Mm. You know, coming from Spain, running around, eating everywhere, coming for a very good restaurant. I found a job. Rush. Sous chef, really, but I was the head chef because Nacho was the executive, you know. Right. And that's it. I stay here 20 years now. And I have to say big thank you to this country because it made my home.
Yeah.
It's my home.
Well, you're known as the godfather of Spanish cooking. What do you think is the secret to really good Spanish cooking?
Always we say, like we go back, it's just Spanish cuisine is all about ingredients.
And you can get all the ingredients
I
here
can
now
get
as well.
Anything I want here. Of course, now it's so many amazing chefs with so much creativity that they put Spanish cuisine up there in the wall, you know? But go to a proper restaurant with no many influence for another cuisines or techniques is a very lovely stew, a lovely roast, you know, a gorgeous soup. That is all about. And when you do amazing stew, soup, or anything, or roast, or whatever you want, it's few ingredients, but stunning. It's what you want. It's what I want.
And the first restaurant that you set up was Jose Tapas Bar. Mm-hmm. How was it moving from working in other people's restaurants to suddenly having your own?
I was working in Brindisa. I co-founded Brindisa in Borough Market.
Yes.
And from there, to Jose was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't have my experience with the business, really. But I just, it was time for me to move, you know, from Brindisa. It was amazing for me. I think we did very well for Spanish food. We really, Monica is the founder of Brindisa. Mm-hmm. And I think what that woman that did for Spain, this country, is unbelievable. And but yeah, it was a bit shocking, you know. I don't have much money. The money I have from I sold Brindisa, you know, to do something else. I was like, Mamma mia, what is happening? I was a bit scared, yeah. I have to say. That was amazing. Because it's strange. Jose is like 35 square meters. It's tiny. And you just go inside. I was like, I can make money from here. I was doing numbers. I was like, I think I can do like 20 people for lunch, maybe 35 for dinner or something like that. And we do a few more than that.
Squeeze them in.
Squeeze it in. Come on, everyone in. It was amazing because everyone love it. And it's that kind of little corner that didn't change in the last 8 years. It's still busy. I don't know how it's even getting busier. And nothing better for me when someone come in and say, wow, I feel like to be in Spain.
That's what you're going for. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I changed from Gaudi than to do that kind of a nouvelle creative cuisine to go to back to my roots, to say, you know, back to the very simple but amazing quality ingredients. And I think British were ready for that type of learning. We are so lucky that we are in a place that we learn, you know, you go to many restaurants and you laugh. Wow, I learned something today. And I think Jose, in that time, was a place that so many customers start learning more about Spanish cuisine, ingredients. And I think we are still busy because always is something new on the menu, new flavors, new cuts of meat, new oils, new vinegars. Mm. And I think that is important, always to refresh.
Well, I suppose one of the things that you did bring to the UK was the kind of concept of tapas, not just the actual ingredients, but that way of eating. And now lots of other restaurants, not just Spanish ones, have also adopted that. Have you found that sort of inspiring to see that method of eating catching on everywhere?
But we are getting more social. We want to be more together, I think. It's not like lunch. I think it's important for everyone to be, again, and it's that kind of flavors that you can talk with your guests. I think it's nice to have so many things in the middle and talk about food. And food and wines bring people together.
You've always had open kitchens, mm-hmm, in your restaurants. Is that an important part of the same thing, being able to see, as a diner, what the chefs are doing?
I think it's important. It's important to see and to feel your customers. And your customers are part of the family, are the more important thing. Always. It's all about hospitality. Hospitality is all about customers. Clientele is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about front of house. No, it's about who is crossing that door. You know? And I need to feel that. I need to feel the open kitchens, the customer from the open kitchen.
So this is your most recent restaurant that you've opened up, the Gastropub in Surrey. Mm. Are you going British with your food there, or
no,
are you staying close to your roots?
A little bit of touch. For many years, I wanted to open my pub. I think pubs, Spanish bar, local bars, proper old-fashioned bars, are the same thing. In a pub, you have your pint and your crisps. You want just that. And in a bar in Spain, you have your caña and your little tapa. It's the place that you go to socialize. You see your friends, you met people you never met before. It's why I always want to have or try to have my pub. And in the kind of food what I'm doing there, it's the same food, it's Spanish food. I have my fish and chips, of course, with my Spanish touch. It's a Estrella Damm beer butter with saffron. Mm. I have my Scotch egg, I love it, I have to say.
It's hard not to love a Scotch.
Exactly, but I bring the Spanish flavor, the morcilla. Nice. The morcilla, the jamón ibérico.
Yeah. You know,
sounds fantastic.
It's good, yeah. It's lovely. And I love it. It's a beautiful part of the world. In the beginning, I was a little bit, you know, shocked for myself. How is going to people react it?
Because your other restaurants are all very close together in the same area of London, aren't they? Yeah.
And for me, it was like, if I have a pub, have to be in a place where it's local and it's for the locals. And it's for locals and the locals. In the beginning, all of them were like, I'm coming here for 40 years. Please don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but they are happy.
Yeah, good,
it's important.
Good. They're still coming.
still coming. I have customer going every single day.
That's so lovely.
It's amazing because in the end, the first month and a half, I spent almost all my time there. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. It's really feel like going to my local bar in my village and catching up with your friends.
A real community.
With your community, exactly. Yeah.
And what about sherry? You've spoken a lot about sherry, how you love to cook with it and obviously drink it as well. And there's been a bit of a sherry revival in the UK. What do you love about it?
I think sherry is so diverse. You know? We have from Fino and Manzanilla, one of the pearls and driest wine in the world, going from Palo Cortado, Oloroso, Amontillado, and then you go until Pedro Jiménez, PX, is one of the darkest and sweetest wine in the world. You really can have the whole meal all about sherry and combine so well with every single food. Japanese, spicy, everything you can fix there. And it's in my heart. I think it's even in my blood. And pickle a little bit with sherry. And for cooking, it's deeper, the flavors. It's more robust, you know, it's stronger. And it's always giving better flavor to everything. Even I have my glass now. Always in Spain, as you go and you see, always drink from the little tiny, as you can see, I love glasses.
This is a typical
very fine
glass,
collection.
You know, for sherry, you know?
Yes. Mm.
And that is wrong.
Why? Because you cannot really bring the big aromas.
So you need a bigger glass with a rounder bowl.
Exactly. And do you know why? Because people in Jerez always want more. In Spain, you know. It's like when you have a gin and tonic, they forget it, no? And the old guys at the bar say, these people is always ask for more. If I do the glass smaller, I full up, easy. Don't.
Yeah. It's sensible economics. So speaking of alcohol, you also have an interest in Carver. Mm-hmm. And you are setting up your own brand of cava, is that
it's
right?
On the way, hopefully soon. Definitely, I think people need to understand more about cava. We talk about sherry. People had, sherry, is that granny? Is that bottle? Is in the cabinet for the whole year?
Christmas cane.
It's cream. And then you taste and say, it's not very good. How can be good? It's a year there. It's warm. Maybe it's 5 years in the cabinet.
Dusty.
And it's just kind of memory than say, no, I don't want to. In the pub, too many people. I don't have Prosecco in the pub. Say, please, bring Prosecco. Say, please, try the cava. Try. I give you a glass.
Yeah.
And tell me. People try cava and completely change.
It's converted.
It's converted because it's the same thing. If you try that cream pearl sherry that you have in the cabinet for 25 years, and then you try a beautiful manzanilla, fresh, dry, it's the same thing. You know, now my thing is I help a little bit the sherry in this country.
Just
now, I'm gonna do with the cava.
One by one.
And with the ham. The ham. Everyone, I was like 20 years ago, maybe 18 years ago, with the leg of ham everywhere, with all the pears and things. And I was carving. And everyone came to me and said, wow, Parma ham. just kill me. Nothing wrong with Parma ham. I think Parma ham is incredible. You know, San Daniele, again, beautiful hams. But it's nothing. It's different product. Of course, when you try jamón ibérico, the one I have is cinco jotas, and you just put that in your mouth, you are converted.
Mm.
It's easy when you've got the good ingredients.
Exactly. We go back to the basics.
Yeah.
Amazing things. Boom.
And your new book focuses on the cuisine of Andalusia. What exactly is it that you love about that area's food?
I grew up in Extremadura. It's like in that time, talking about 40 years, you know, when I was 7, I always spent my holiday with my auntie and my uncle, my mom, family working always. And always I traveled to Andalusia for my summer holiday. And it's just the people, it's just the sun, it's the food, it's the happiness. It's like, mañana, leave me, I'm having a siesta now. No, it's not like that, no, it's not like that. But it's the sun, really, it's the sun, and everyone is so lovely, and the food is just incredible. It's memories, always, no? Life, like we say, just a simple tomato, a simple glass of milk straight from the cow. It's memories, you know? It's what that is happening with Andalusia. The food is stunning, and it's so much culture there. As you know, Spain being from Rome, Phoenician, to Muslim, to Jewish, to Christian, you know, it's so much culture and so much different things going on there. Every single culture live their own things there, you know, their own stamp, to say. All religions, you know, with the Muslim, no pork. Christian, all pork. All of that kind of passing one generation or one culture or to another is there. And I have the most incredible time researching. As you know, researching is drinking, eating, and meeting incredible people, that's it.
I mean, because your last three books have all been deep dives into different regional cuisines. So you've looked at the Basque cuisine with San Sebastian and areas like that, and there was Catalonia, and now Andalusia. Do you have another Spanish regional cuisine in mind for a future project?
I think now, because I'm from Extremadura, I have to do Extremadura.
I think so.
I don't know how, because I think it's more personal. I don't know if it's going to be in this series or it's going to be in somehow. Yeah, it's maybe.
Memoir. Maybe it's time for a memoir.
But is that? I don't know. I need to sit down with the publisher and see.
And what about when you're having comfort? What is comfort food to you?
For me, it's just finish work, 11. If I don't want to stay in the restaurant, come to the house. Always is egg and mayo omelette. You know, omelette. Nice tomatoes, and just, that is amazing for me. It's something, I love stews. I love lentils that I hate when I was a child, when I was 3 or 4, when I saw lentils in the morning or the smell of lentils. Not coming today for lunch. Coming here, coming home, have a plate of lentils in a winter. That for me is unbelievable. You know, a simple roast. I love fish and baked fish. You know, my dream was to have an oven big enough to bring the whole tarbot, 3 kilo tarbot there, and just put in the middle of the table, like we are here now, put there, and everyone...
And what about English food? You told us about Scotch eggs and fish and chips. Are there any other dishes that you've come to love?
We have so many game stews. It's so much going on in this country. And the culture, you know, I have a few books upstairs and people giving me about British food. And it's unbelievable. And it's thing that so many people are recovering. And it's so much to give. I don't hate, because I don't hate. But I don't like when people say, oh, British food, that is not food there. Is it bloody... I can sell bullshit. It's a bullshit. Because it's so much things, so many ingredients, so many new producers bringing the most incredible cheese, the most incredible meat. You know, it's so much thing going on here.
Do you get most of your ingredients from Spain, or are there lots of English producers that you
always
use?
Always I work as much as I can with my locals. You know, you have to support your locals, because the local is the one who will support you. Things I can buy here, I buy here. Jamón ibérico, at the moment, it's not going to happen. But Tempus, my friend Drew, is making the most incredible charcuterie. And I have my charcuterie in the pub. Because I think combine very well together. Good chorizo, amazing copa from Drew.
Perfect.
You know, it's important. And more in a pub, you know, than you have... I need to feel myself to have British things there.
Mm.
Asparagus, we have the best asparagus in the world. We have strawberries there to the delight. You know, it's. I think we are doing well in Britain.
Yeah. And do you have a sweet tooth?
No, at at all.
There are no puddings that can tempt you.
Peter, my partner, he loves sweets. I think he can live in sweets.
Do you bake for him?
I'm not the best. I know how to bake, but I tried to escape. I have to say, the thing I always do, and I think it's part of my memory, is a nice chocolate pot. For me, a little bit of chocolate, olive oil, and salt, and I'm very happy with that. I don't know why, but it's not what I do at home. We are talking about home, you know. I can roast, I can stew, whatever you want. When we try to bake, if I have to, I do, but I try to escape.
And when you go home to your village in Spain, do you cook for your mum?
Now I cook for my mum. Okay. Now she allows me to cook. We're going this week. I'm going to Puerto de Santa Maria. I'm going to Jerez tomorrow for 3 days with the family, with the staff. Mm-hmm. And then I stay in Puerto de Santa Maria for a week. And my holidays, and sound stupid, is wake up in the morning, go to the market, chocolate, cafe with tostadas, you know, or a sandwich in the market, buy everything, go home and cook the whole day. That for me is holiday.
And my mom. What sort of things did your mom like?
And my
to
mom,
have cooked for her?
My mom left me now to cook.
Do you do lentils?
I love lentils. Maybe lentils is going to be too hot for.
Yes, I imagine it's quite warm there at the moment.
It's really warm there.
Gazpacho.
Yeah, gazpacho and good gazpacho. I'm going to do the in the book, in Andalucía book, is talking about strawberries. It's a gazpacho made with the strawberries. I'm going to try her to see what she think about it.
Good luck.
Thank you. I need it. Yeah, but I love that time. It's all about, I think, what bring me to cook and to be a chef is that kind of to be with people and feeding. And you come in, like my mom always say, you know, when I bring friends to the house, come on, eat, you need to eat, come on. I think that is why everything bring me to be a chef, you know, to be a feeder and just to make people, try to make people happy. And nothing better than good food. Have to be a glass of wine, always. Glass of sherry is important.
Jose, thank you so much for joining us on Table Talk. And you can buy Jose's latest book, And Lucia, published by Hardy Grant, available in all good bookshops and online.